Good morning, this is Jeremy Dees of Planning for Life, Life and Financial Planning Consultants from Helmsley in North Yorkshire. I've been asked quite recently on a number of occasions whether we're going to be heading for a double dip recession in both the UK and the global economies, and what impact that's going to have on global stock markets. So I thought it worth putting together a few notes on my response to this to share with everyone. The ogre of the double dip recession has arisen out of comments on three highly newsworthy events. First is China and the potential for a slowdown in Chinese growth. The second is the sovereign debt crisis, particularly Greece. And the third is the austerity programs that have been introduced by governments around the world. This has certainly led to speculation that we could be heading for a double dip recession. But I want to look at whether this is actually correct. So let's have a quick look at the arguments. What are the arguments for a double-dip recession? Well, firstly, global data, especially in the US and some in the Far East, is looking a little weak, to say the least. Some of the key indicators, such as business sentiment, consumer confidence and retail sales, have peaked in the last couple of months and appear to be heading back downhill. Many governments around the world, our own included, are introducing quite severe austerity measures. A result of this could, of course, be an increase in unemployment, and that could have a dampening effect on global growth. It's worth noting also that many forecasts are being downgraded at the moment, particularly the Fed in the US and the Office of Budget Responsibility in the UK, both of which have severely slashed their growth forecasts. The European Eurozone has bucked this trend, but we have to ask whether that is realistic. Many commentators would argue that it is definitely not. Let's look at the arguments against a double-dip recession. The UK is in a strong position relative to the rest of the euro in that it can still devalue the pound and continue to print money, unlike the eurozone. And those are two powerful weapons that the government can use to help avoid a double-dip recession. Around the world, interest rates are low and are likely to remain low for some time. That's obviously a boost to both consumers and firms, and it helps to keep costs down. It's arguable that firms are now leaner and meaner after making severe cuts during the recent recession. That, plus in the UK, the low pound, means that they are more competitive and able to be more effective in the export market, and that could be a boost to growth. In economic terms, double-dip recessions tend to be quite rare, and that's because of what the so-called accelerator multiplier effect. In other words, momentum. Once momentum starts, it tends to carry on, unless something drastic makes it change. In the markets, particularly the bond markets, it's notable that corporate bond spreads have tightened and the yield curve remains steep. Those are both good indicators that the economic environment is improving rather than deteriorating. So those are just some of the arguments for and against a double-dip recession. And I think we conclude by saying that a double-dip recession is unlikely, but certainly growth is not going to be exceptional over the coming few years. Indeed, it could be slow, especially in Western markets. The euro land is probably the biggest risk. The UK is at risk, but its independence means that it does have weapons to target any threat of a double-dip recession. In the markets, market valuations are low. In the UK, price-earning ratios are at around 10.5 times 2010 earnings, and that compares to a 15-year average of 15.5, which indicates that markets could start to recover. Markets are, of course, a leading indicator. In conclusion, I think we can expect uninspiring growth and volatile markets, certainly for the next 12 months, maybe a bit longer. But I don't think we're going to see a return to recession, nor are we going to see a return to the market lows of March 2009. So that's it. I hope that's been of help. But before I go, a quick reminder that nothing in this commentary should be regarded as advice. You should contact your professional advisor before taking any action relating to your personal finances. Planning for Life cannot be held responsible for the outcome of any action taken based on this commentary if advice has not been sought beforehand. Planning for Life is authorised and regulated by the Financial Services Authority. Our number is 448184, and you can find out more about us at www.planningforlife.org. Or alternatively, give me a call on 01439 770 105.